It is Luke's gospel that really gives us the greatest detail into the nativity of Jesus, into Jesus' birth. Now, to understand why he would do that, we understand that he was writing, as I've said many times, primarily to non-Jewish Christians. And he therefore was respectful and honoured the Jewish tradition and the heritage, but he didn't labour the point. And he put it in there so that it would acknowledge and honour, as I said, but it also demonstrated the end of one era and the beginning of another. And the emphasis is really on the beginning of the other. But he just didn't say Jesus was born. He gave the heritage of Jesus' birth. So today we have what's known very commonly as the visitation of the two cousins, Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth represents the first covenant or the old covenant, what we would understand what was said in the Old Testament. So particularly remembering God calling his people out of the slavery of Egypt and eventually to the promised land. And then, of course, there was the several kingdoms, and then there were the two kingdoms, and then there was the exile, and we had David, we had the royal household, the royal bloodline, and we had the priestly bloodline. And so what happens today is by the introduction of Elizabeth there with Mary, we have basically an echoing of what was said and done with Hannah in the Old Testament. Now, she was an old woman when she fell pregnant. Elizabeth was an old woman when she fell pregnant. And the people who know their Old Testament scripture in the Hebrew Bible very well would see all of these parallels between the old and the new. Mary symbolizing the new, of course. The common thread there is covenant. And covenant is more than a promise. It is sacred, and in a scriptural sense, it is a divine promise. So God reaches down from his heavens and he leaves a very firm footprint on earth, particularly in his highest creation, which is us. So the covenant that he made with Moses was the essence the essential part of the Old Testament. Everything was related to that people either followed the covenant or they didn't. So you have the good, the bad, and the ugly of Hebrew history, because things went well when they followed the covenant. When they didn't, things did not go so well. Now, we have Elizabeth recognising who Mary is. But I've often thought that in the times of the Bible, of Jesus' time in the Bible, that women would never travel alone. Where she went to, where Mary went to meet Elizabeth, is at a place that scholars believe and archaeologists believe. It's a place called Ein Kerem, and it's about 7 miles out of Jerusalem, and it is in the hill country there, Ein Kerem, and it's the place where the church that is there, and Maureen and Fran and Matt, you've been there, and there's church, Franciscan Church, is a big circular disc in the floor that says that this is the place where the precursor of the Saviour of the world was born. That's John the Baptist. So this was the place that is traditionally where Elizabeth and Mary met. Elizabeth recognised in Mary that she was the carrier of the new covenant. The new covenant. And Mary responds with responds with an ancient hymn of the church, which we know as the Magnificat. Of course, my soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, and it goes on. And that's attached all to this scene by extension. Sandro Botticelli did a beautiful painting about 1480 called Mary of the Magnificat. That is Mary glorifying the Lord by her saying yes, which Elizabeth realised and recognised. So, and in Botticelli's painting, which was part of a series of seven paintings of the life of Mary done in the 1400s that he did, and they were at various times, primarily they were made for the Notre Dame Cathedral, and then of course the Napoleonic Wars and everything happened. They were taken away, a couple disappeared, five were recovered, and they were put back into the Cathedral of Notre Dame. Now, our understanding is that that painting of Mary of the Magnificat was in Notre Dame Cathedral when it burned in April of 2019. And I haven't been able to find out whether it was damaged or whatever's happened to it. But you can just look it up, Mary of the Magnificat by Botticelli. And what you'll see is these scriptures in a painting. Very, very clever how the artists of that period were able to give to people who were not learned, who did not have the education, but to be able to give to them the whole story of Scripture. And the people learnt their Scripture, their Old Testament and their New, primarily from the artists of the time. And that's why stained glass windows were so important, because the Scriptures were, and the story of the Bible, were embedded in them. Not just the saints, but sacred Scripture itself. And the people came to understand that because the light was on the outside, and through that light shone the meaning. And it's a very beautiful way of understanding Scripture. We are enlightened once we dispose ourselves to immersing ourselves in it as much as we can, and then we let God, as it were, work his magic with us. We let God decide how he's going to open himself up to us in the story that's unfolding. And that's why the images that we use around this time of the year are really helpful, or they can be an awful hindrance. And when we go back to Botticelli, you'll see Mary has got the most graceful, beautiful face, and she's looking down on a book with a pen in her hand, and she's writing the Magnificat. She's actually right. And it is our understanding that beautiful prayer was actually one of the first Judeo-Christian hymns. It's known as the first hymn in the Christian sense from Jewish heritage. My soul glorifies the Lord. So when you look at that painting, you will see that Mary's there, and she has a blue cape on of the period, and the cape is shaped in a veil like that. And it has red on the inside. The blue veil was the veil of the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. Old Testament. So when the Ark of the Covenant was carried out and was put into the tent of meeting, it had a veil over it. And Botticelli's put this in the painting, and the people would have understood that. And then he has the child Jesus, of course, in the foreground on Mary's lap there. Mind you, I should say, a very healthy child too. That he's painted there, but that's another story. And why I mention all of that is because sometimes we can't get it from Scripture ourselves, and we need a bit of a nudge, and Botticelli does that. He puts the Ark of the Covenant, it's now been replaced with Mary, who is carrying the new covenant. She's carrying Jesus. She was pregnant at that time that she met Elizabeth. So Moses brought down the Ten Commandments, formed the Ark of the Covenant. David said, why should I be given the honour of looking after, that's King David, why should I be given the honour of looking after the Ark? Mary says, why should I be honoured by such a request from the Lord? Elizabeth says, why should I be honoured by a visit from the mother of our Lord? So there's many, many layers that bring the old and the new together. David, when he took the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, he danced all night out in front of it. And then today we have Mary coming forward, bringing the new covenant in her womb. And we get the word mercy from womb. It's part of the Hebrew word for womb. So the mercy of God. So if you read the Magnificat and you read the first part of Luke, the word mercy is mentioned so much. Mercy, the womb of Mary carrying the new covenant. The visitation is hugely important. Mary didn't dance, Elizabeth didn't dance, John the Baptist did in Elizabeth's womb. Jumped for joy. For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. As David danced in front of the Ark of the Old Covenant, John the Baptist dances, in a sense, in front of the Ark of the New Covenant, which is Jesus himself in the womb of Mary. I wasn't trying to give you an expose of the painting as such, but we have to find every little thread that will help us understand the mystery of the birth of Jesus. Because like I was saying, or started to say before, I would find it very difficult to think that a woman would travel to Ein Kerem, 7 miles out of Jerusalem, from a little village in Nazareth. That would take about 4 days. No Uber. She would not be allowed to travel on her own either. And the fact that she is there, so she's either gone in a caravan with some others. There's no mention of Joseph at that point, particular point there. So somehow or other, it may well be that when Mary said yes to God, that she would be the bearer of the Saviour of the world, it may well be that she felt that she could travel on her own against custom, and she felt safe because she had the protector of the world in her womb, and that gave her the strength to be that brave. Now, it's a hypothesis, I don't know, but there are many things that are in the nativity of our Lord and the characters and the things that they say and do that we can delve right into and ask ourselves, I wonder why? And nearly always your answer will come back to something of the Old Testament. There will be something that draws us back to the first covenant and remembering that the new covenant finishes the old. It is over and it is completed in Jesus. And that could only happen in this way because Mary said yes. John the Baptist recognised who Jesus was before he was born. Elizabeth recognised who Jesus was before he was born. And there was Mary, a 16-year-old girl, carrying the greatest mystery that the world has ever known. It must have been very challenging. So if you think that the Christmas period is getting a bit heavy for you, not a lot of fun, a bit too much weight to carry, think of this young woman who, through her bravery and her enormous faith in God and trust in God, said, I will do this. I will bring forward for you the Saviour of the world. I don't know many 16-year-old girls who would be that brave, but we pray that all 16-year-olds will increase their faith at this time and from that receive courage that all of us need when our faith is deeply challenged.